Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, December 1st, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page XVII, which is in the foreword to the second edition. We're reading that bottom fourth paragraph, beginning with the appearance of the new book, ending with 800 alcoholics were on their way to recovery. We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Penny L.C., who will be reading the text. Elaine B. is going to be reading page 164. And Julie E.B. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, November 30th, 2023, is 20,893, or 893. And I don't have the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Once I have that, I will announce that and let you guys know what that is. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Nancy C. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy C. from Colorado, a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy C. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody, especially the newcomers. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovering in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself, in our group conscience. Our honorable trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion in outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to re-mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the foreword to the second edition. We're on page XVII. We're going to read that bottom paragraph. It's the fourth paragraph at the bottom, beginning with the appearance of the new book, ending with 800 alcoholics were on their way to recovery. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to begin reading.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. With the appearance of the new book, a great deal began to happen. Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick, the noted clergyman, reviewed it with approval. In the fall of 1939, Fulton Ousler, then editor of Liberty, printed a piece in his magazine called Alcoholics and God. This brought a rush of 800 frantic inquiries into the little New York office, which meanwhile had been established. Each inquiry was painstakingly answered. Pamphlets and books were sent out. Businessmen traveling out of existing groups were referred to these prospective newcomers. New groups started up, and it was found, to the astonishment of everyone, that AA's message could be transmitted in the mail as well as by word of mouth. By the end of 1939, it was estimated that 800 alcoholics were on their way to recovery. And when I reflect on this paragraph and the information it's giving me, I recognized the miracle, you know, of a movement that had a solution that they're sharing with us for a disease that had plagued society at that time and continues to, and devastated many an individual's life and still does. Now, just word of mouth was not the only means, but a solution in print was now published and available. Published in the spring, you know, that the word of this new approach began to spread, and it was approved by this well-recognized religious leader and touted in print of a well-read magazine, Liberty Magazine. And that was a lot of recognition at that time in that era. So the outcome was of a divinely inspired path to recovery. You know, we all know the story behind Bill W. And if you don't, then stay tuned. You'll learn more as we go through the book and the miracle of his recovery and how he brought it to others. The incredible blessing is to have the answer available to me and all of us some 60 plus years later, to be holding a copy of this written message in my hand right now. That's amazing. I remember my frantic inquiry myself when my desperation brought me to a new willingness to seek out OA. I'm so grateful that members were available then to lead me to this textbook that I see as my owner's manual on how to do life and how to find a way to have my brokenness fixed. Today, I'm thankful to be able to transmit to others this life-changing message and point others to this chip of a book. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Penny Elsie, for getting us started. Well, we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. We have a lot of people on the line. I'll remind you when the timer, with some chiming timer, when your time is up. And when you hear the timer, please finish up. Please finish up your sentence, not your full thought, so that we have time for others. I'm going to get a first lineup. If you can please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Sarah,
Tom L.
Mary Lee R. in Oregon.
I heard Tom E. and there was someone before Tom.
Kara B.
Kara B. Okay.
Robin.
Mary Lee R.
I've got Robin P. I think I've got Mary Lee in Oregon.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Leslie C. in Montana.
Yeah, Leslie C. And was there anyone else who wanted to get in on this first lineup? Okay, I've got Tom L, Kara B, Robin P, Mary Lee, and Leslie C. And please let us know where you're calling from. And Tom, you'll be up first, followed by Kara B. Tom L, if you could please unmute.
Good morning. This is Tom from California, and I just have a brief thing to say this morning. Good morning, everyone. This book came out in a very religious time, and I think they were terrified of being branded as heretics, because that's a thing in religion. And so getting the endorsement of religious figures was extremely important. And of course, there were no meetings you could go to, so you had to rely on the book, and the book, well, let's just say it had some controversial subject matter in it, especially regarding religion. Today is completely different. Now it's a very different world. Men and women relate to each other very differently. Religion is much weaker as a social cohesive force and certainly in my life. Now we have the trouble of people who are irreligious, never thought of religion, and you're pushing a 1930s God at them, and they're thinking, this is not going to work. The blessing that we have is millions of recovered people and their stories, people walking around who are free of addiction and who have come from all walks of life, including all religions and no religion, including myself. So it's a different world, and it's because it succeeded, and it is not religion. That's the important point. Religion doesn't seem to have the power to take care of what I have. I've tried it. This spiritual connection with a power greater than myself works like a charm, but it takes careful explaining by people who have gone before. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Tom L. And next up is Kara B., followed by Robin P.
Thanks so much. Hi, I'm Kara B. I'm calling from Michigan. And what strikes me with this is the fact that I'm reminded of the fact that God specializes in impossible situations and then the third alternative that I don't see. Just the concept of, okay, we need to get this book out. How do we do it? How does this work? How do we start a group? The whole story of how this all came to be is, as other people have said, so miraculous. But that's also reflected in my own story with recovery. When I was first invited to give up my trigger foods, I thought that was impossible. I didn't think I could get past 3 p.m. without my chocolate. I didn't think that was, like, how do I live? How do I do that? But when I trust and choose to trust that God will make this work because it's helping for other people, that is when I experience deliverance. And most of the time with program, when I'm directed to either by a sponsor or by my higher power to do something, my knee-jerk reaction is, I have no time. I don't see how that can work. But there is no faith in that statement. When I choose to believe that it can work, I say, okay, God, show me how. He shows me how. And the third alternative appears. The way to squirrel in the time works, and I'm shown how to multitask or how to squeeze things or drop things that no longer serve. And so that is so awesome. I'm so grateful that my higher power can do the things that I can't do for myself, including being able to work my program on a daily basis. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Kara B. from Michigan. Next up, Robin P., followed by Mary Lee.
Thanks so much for your service, Stephanie. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Orlando, Florida. I looked it up, and there are over 2 million members currently in AA. That's just in AA, and there's hundreds of 12-step groups all around the world. It's just amazing. There's a 12-step group for everything, and it's such a huge blessing. And they were so thrilled that there were over 800 members. just such a privilege to be part of this, and for a faith that works and for everything. In all my affairs, I get to practice these principles in all my affairs. And yesterday we had a very traumatic day, and we were supposed to fly to Costa Rica yesterday morning very early, and we got to the airport, and I got to practice these principles in all my affairs because for some reason the person at the counter at JetBlue didn't like the look of our service dog and said he just yawned. Loudly. He's a park beagle, so he's loud, and he yawned loudly, and she said, that's not service dog yawn, and I don't like how they're standing at attention. It's not attention enough, and she canceled our flight, and we are praying and working these steps and asking for help from God and our fellows and not hiding. So I used to be as sick as my secrets. I would feel ashamed if something went, quote, wrong, and just try to figure it out myself alone in isolation. And now I'm because I learned in this program to be positively vulnerable, I've been asking for help. And, you know, we've reached out to see which solution is God's will for us. And it made me, we have to take a private plane. My husband doesn't want to go to another airline and go through that again. It was just felt really uncomfortable. And we honestly, the dogs didn't do anything wrong. I don't know what happened. But God is in charge of everything, and miracles happen out of everything. And that's the same way with this program. That the original people, the founders in AA, went through so much hell. It was such a challenging startup, and, you know, almost went bankrupt, and just so many things. And they kept persevering and working their principles and all their affairs, and it worked out. Look what happened. So I'm so grateful. I know that God's got us in his hands. We feel like we're in limbo, but God's got us. And so we'll see if we're meant to take a private jet or whatever we're meant to do. And, you know, thank you for your prayers. God bless everybody. It was a really blessed afternoon day I passed.
Well, thank you so much, Robin P., currently in Florida. Next up, Marilee, followed by Leslie C.
Good morning, everyone. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon. Grateful to be recovered today through God's grace and the fellowship. And I was listening to the earlier, I'm on the West Coast, so it is earlier, meeting. And someone was talking about the first edition. And I was gifted the first edition, I think around 30 years ago. And I had not finished reading. And so I turned to the story that was referred to, The Lone Endeavor. And it just knocked my socks off this morning. It was the individual story was almost like Bill's story, and just the hopelessness. I mean, there was just no, it didn't seem to be any way out. And to have received the first edition and found recovery, and then doing what we all do, which is sharing our experience, strength, and hope with others, it just gave me such a lift this morning. And I was already pretty amazingly feeling wonderful. Anyway, I'm babbling. I'm just grateful. I'm really grateful for each and every person on this line. And may we keep helping each other and ourselves through the grace of our divine director. Thank you for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you so much, Marilee R. from Oregon. And next we've got Leslie C.
Hi, this is Leslie C., recovered compulsive overeater for this moment in Montana. And gosh, what I really appreciate about this reading that I've just been thinking about is, you know, these stories and the growth of AA and, you know, the fits and starts and the beginnings. And it's just, it really speaks to me that it speaks on a macro level what is possible for me on a micro level. And it's like, oh, I can have, you know, my growth is like this as well. You know, I'm growing, I'm mushrooming. I can, you know, it's, to me, it's inspiring when I look at it in terms of the history of AA and the book. And for me, when I look at my own challenges and difficulties, it doesn't seem as inspiring, you know, but I can look at the, you know, it's like watching a movie. Like, I appreciate, you know, watching the main character in the movie struggle, and then they triumph, you know, they overcome their struggles. And that's what I'm getting from this. It's like, we are steeped in so much history, and like the millions and millions of people that have found recovery. And so I just take a lot of hope and encouragement from that, in terms of like, this is my lineage and this is my heritage. Like, I have all of this available to me to lean on and to support my program. And I'm so not alone in this fellowship with this, with the past and the for me and the fellows that I have around me. It just makes me realize that I can just create space, what I call grace and space, for my own challenges and my next, you know, frontier that I'm, you know, always constantly engaging in recovery in my program. So I'm so grateful to be on this meeting and for all of you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Leslie C. from Montana. And if you're just joining us, let me fill you in on where we're at. We're in the foreword to the second edition. We're on page XVII, the fourth paragraph, beginning with the appearance of the new book. And we read just that one paragraph, finishing up with 800 alcoholics were on their way to recovery. And I'd like to take another lineup. Please give your first name, last initial, and let us know where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Elaine B.
Christy K., Washington State.
I've got Elaine B. I've got Christy K.
Janice K.
I've got you, Janice.
Lois P.
I've got Lois P. And anyone else want to get in on this next lineup?
Stephen G.
I've got you, Stephen G. And Jordan L. Okay, so here's what I've got. I've got Elaine B., Christy K., Janice K., Lois P., Stephen G., and Jordan L. And we'll start with Elaine B., followed by Christy K., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Thanks so much, Stephanie. This is Elaine B. in Massachusetts. So grateful to be recovered one day at a time for over 10 years. Thank you, God. It's unbelievable. You know, a headline like Alcoholics and God, that's not going to attract everybody except for those, you know, I read every page no matter what it is, whether it applies to me or not. But he's tipping the hat here about the problem and the solution. And, you know, if I did not believe that there was a solution, I would not be here. I would not have this little tip of a book. I would not be getting into it with, you know, sponsees all the time, you know, one after another after another. I wouldn't have a message to carry, you know. So this is going to appeal to people who either are alcoholics, who know alcoholics, who are impacted by alcoholics, who employ alcoholics, who whatever. And same thing with overeaters. I mean, I just love that we can change that first part of the title and exchange it for food. And many other programs exchange it for many other things. And believe me, I've walked out some of those paths too. But I'm incredibly grateful for the fact. You know, I looked up the article actually on silkworth.net. It's there. And it's written by Morris Markey. And the subhead is there hope for the habitual drunkard? A cure that borders on the miraculous, and it works. That's why we're here. That's why we invite others. That's why some people who come in, they hear the meeting and they hear recovery, oh my gosh, just like I did. They stick around if they want it, if they're ready, for a cure. And so, you know, at some of these we balked, but we, you know, if we stay in, if we're not ready, it's the desperation that drives us to this, to this surrender. And I just want to express the gratitude that I have, you know, for this meeting, which of course has multiplied into, you know, three meetings a day and special editions on Sundays. And then also so many meetings that are born by people who have worked vigorously on here, doing their work, and then starting other meetings in Zoom and all of these different things. There's so many options for us. And it's just an incredible community of people who understand. But my greatest gratitude is the relationship I have built that's always accessible all the time, knows everything about everybody, past, present, and future, will guide me all throughout the day if I stop. Much better solution than the sweetness that lasts for about 8 seconds when you take that compulsive bite, which I no longer need to do. And I pass with that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Elaine B., and congrats on 10 years. That's amazing. So next up, we have Christy K., followed by Janice K.
Morning, everybody. Christy K., recovered in Washington State. And in this paragraph, what really stood out to me was the phrase, alcoholics and God. Because for so long being in this program, I tried, but I thought of it as a food program. I just wanted to lose weight, and I didn't think of it really as a God program. I really didn't start working in the big book until about 2 years ago with a sponsor, and that's what has changed everything for me. I'm living in the solution that God can do for me what I can't do for myself, and that has been life-changing. You know, I'm not always perfect in remembering to go to God for things, but it's a lot different outcome than I had when I started this program 10 years ago. Another thing that stood out is how they talk about word of mouth, and that's how I found out about OA. Granted, it was probably 40 years ago I found out from my mom, who was in OA, and I remember kind of laughing when she told me that it was a God-based program, because I really didn't believe that God could help me with my food problem. Let's see. And then when I actually really went to my first OA meeting, and I walked in and I sat down, I really knew I had found my place and my people. I kind of felt like when we all shared, we were all one person. I had never felt that before, so I knew I had found where I was supposed to be. And also with word of mouth, I had no idea when I came back in 2 years ago about all these Zoom meetings. It's been a life-changing experience for me, being able to go on a Zoom meeting almost every night, any time of the day, meeting new people, new fellows, and then for me being able to also tell people I meet about these Zoom meetings to really get connected. So that has been life-changing for me. So I think that's all I have, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christy Kay from Washington. Next up, Janice Kay, followed by Lois P.
Hi, this is Janice Kay in Central Oregon. The sentence that strikes me is, this brought a rush of 800 frantic inquiries into the little New York office, which meanwhile had been established. And I look at this and I see, wow, these people were so ready. There were 800 of them. And it's as if they were fishermen and they threw the net over the boat and they got 800 fish and they're overwhelmed. And the readiness, the sheer readiness and willingness of those 800 people, frantic inquiries. Help me, help me, help me. I can't stop. Help me now. I'll do anything. Okay. I can work with that. I think one of the things that the pandemic did to and for us locally was it weeded out, and I hate to say it, but I am, it weeded out the hobbyists and the wannabes, the people who were dieting with support. When we went to Zoom meetings, people who wanted recovery stayed. And the people that we have as our core, and there aren't a whole lot of us out here, but there are some. And those of you listening on the line know who you are. But the people who are left are so worth hearing. And the people who are coming in, if they want what we have, they'll stay. And I guess my hope is that we get a rush of inquiries and that we are able to boost recovery, whether it's on this line or in independent meetings, I don't care. Recovery is found where we find it. And I guess that's what I wanted to say. These people were so ready to hear. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Janice Kay from Oregon. Next up, Lois P., followed by Stephen G.
Thank you, Stephanie, and good morning. Hello, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. I love the energy of this passage. There's a momentum that's building. It's as if, you know, a door had opened and suddenly the spirit was released into the world, you know, of this great life-transforming power. And it's so exciting just to read how just, you know, one clergyman reviewing it with approval and an editor, you know, writing a piece about alcoholics and God. And suddenly, like, there was this release in people's hearts who had been living desperate lives, who heard about this and who clamored, who knew that this was a way for them to find their way out of their own misery, or perhaps the misery of their loved ones. It's an exciting paragraph. You know, to quote a very famous French poet, you know, nothing is more powerful than an idea whose time has come. And the reason for that, I believe, is because the power that is behind this is that indescribable, unfathomable, absolutely sacred power that wishes to bring everyone back home again. And this paragraph, to me, again, is this excitement of it starting to flourish or to build in the world. And as we see, as we go on with the other paragraphs, more and more and more growth comes, more and more souls are brought, you know, to a place of change and hope. And it's a beautiful, beautiful moment in AA's history. And I'm just so happy to be part of it and to be absolutely, you know, a recipient, actually, of that great movement, that great moment, you know, when the light really struck those few individuals and they became the emissaries, you know, of this beautiful transitional gift to the world. So thank you, and with that I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Lois P. from New York. Next up, we have Stephen G., followed by Jordan L.
Good morning. This is Stephen G. in Toronto, Canada. Good morning to everybody. The sentence that stands out to me here is, with the appearance of the new book, a great deal began to happen. And I think the first 100 had a lot of God-inspired wisdom. They knew that if the program was only spread through word of mouth, eventually it would get distorted and it would get diluted. And so it was important for them to put it down in the form of a book with specific instructions on how to recover. And the fellowship is an important thing, but the fellowship is not enough. The whole purpose of the fellowship is to point the struggling compulsive overeater to the instructions on how to recover. And the book is very precise and it's very specific. And when those instructions are followed, we get a predictable result. And that's what happened with me. When I got this predictable result, it started to draw people towards me because they saw something happening in me. And it's what drew me to people within this fellowship, to see the recovery that they're getting and to want to know how it's happening. And this book is a very specific, very precise recipe book for how to recover. And that's why people outside of Alcoholics Anonymous, like these journalists and this religious figure, found it to be something that they could approve of, because it was very simple and it was very clear and they saw reproducible results. And that's what I see in my life, and that's what I see in people who are around me who have recovered. And I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen G. And next up, we have Jordan L.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning, Stephanie. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. Compulsive overeaters and God. I think that's a pretty compelling magazine article, actually. it would probably get lost in today's day and age because of all the sensational news we have these days, but sounds compelling to me. That's an article that I would read. I think that the sentence that stuck out to me was, each inquiry was painstakingly answered. Pamphlets and books were sent out. and I think about that, right? Like, I think about the purpose of this book. Like, the purpose of this book is to induce a spiritual experience so that the addict can recover. From what it is, can recover from this disease on a daily basis, you know, on a like a one day at a time basis.
And yes, like, yes, that is, in the end, that is like all about developing a personal relationship with the God of my understanding, a higher power that's personal to me. But I got to say that, like, the first time going through the steps, it's really about ego deflation and humility. And like, that's what comes to mind when I read about inquiries being painstakingly answered and pamphlets and books being sent out. This idea that, you know, like, I don't know who's a real compulsive overeater. I don't know who's ready to recover. Like, my job is just to, like, answer each one of those inquiries, right? And talk about my experience, which is pretty simple. Like, that's a pretty simple thing to do. And there, I think there's a lot of humility. Not only that, but to talk about the literature, too, and to bring it back to literature. Something that can unite us, you know? Like, if I'm, like, just kind of talking about my opinions all the time, that sometimes that highlights differences. And, like, I'm here to be a part of this and participate and not separate out. So it's important to bring that unity. Okay, thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Well, thank you, Jordan L. We've got time for two more shares. Who would like to share?
Alexis F.
This is LJ.
Alexis F. And then I hear LJ?
Yep.
Okay, so we'll go with those two. So we'll do Alexis, we'll have Alexis F go, and then LJ. And please let us know where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Alexis F. from New Jersey. I'm always impressed with the devotion that everybody has to this program, each individual, and their heartfelt shares. I'm an extremist. Whatever I do, I do. There's no moderation to me, and my goal is moderation and balance. But the grave way that I've damaged my body with cigarettes and booze and eating has been extreme. So I started at first 15 years ago quitting smoking. And that was, my husband said to me, you're going to kill us and everybody in this building if you keep that up, because I was smoking rather dangerously. And I quit immediately and haven't had a cigarette since. When I quit drinking, I was out to dinner with my daughter, and I said, I'm going to embarrass me and my daughter. I'm going to fall if I keep this up. And I stopped drinking immediately. I gave up sugar, and that's a miracle, because I lived on this stuff. I'm diabetic, and it's very dangerous for me. I started a meeting for the mentally ill, people with emotional and mental problems, grave emotional and mental disorders. And it wasn't well attended, you know. But it was successful, and you know, there's a lot of red tape with it when you start a meeting. So I'm just grateful to be here, and thanks for all the shares.
Well, thank you, Alexis F. from New Jersey, and LJ, you're up next. And if you could let us know where you're calling from, that would be great.
I'm LJ, compulsive overeater, and I try to stop other compulsive behaviors as well. I'm in Maine, and I'm working on the steps, trying to improve my conscious contact with a higher power, and I've been struggling for like at least 24 hours with emotions, just getting overwhelmed, and trying to apply like the 10th step, like do an inventory about it and tell someone and do some service. So I thought I'd come to a meeting and see if I can be of service. I forget the format of these vision meetings, like if I can leave my phone number or not. I'm not like brand new. So I'd appreciate some guidance on that. Thanks for listening.
Well, thank you so much, LJ. And we don't leave phone numbers during the recorded portion of the meeting, but if you want to stay later and put your name out there as a newcomer, we do allow after the recording is stopped time for that. So stay with us. Well, it looks like we can still do one more. We can do one more share. Who would like to share?
Mandy S., can I share?
Sure, Mandy. Just let us know where you're calling from, please.
I'm calling from Chicago, and I'm newly recovered. I've been in vision for about a month, so I'm just really grateful to be in program and working my steps with my sponsor, and I'm just really grateful for this program. I don't really have anything else to say other than I'm grateful. I survived. This was the first year in my life where I was able to be abstinent on Halloween and Thanksgiving, and I know that that has nothing to do with me suddenly getting willpower overnight. I know that has to do with me working this program. So I'm just wanted to come on and just talk about how grateful I am to be abstinent one day at a time. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Mandy Aston. We still got time for one two-minuter. Someone like to take those 2 minutes.
Elizabeth A., Michigan.
All right, Elizabeth, and looks like it's about a minute, so.
Good morning. This is. Thank you so much. This is Elizabeth A., and I have just felt like God is nudging me to share. I'm grateful for hearing all the different recovery stories. It's been a long, slow climb for me. I did come to program with a relationship already with God. I had a personal relationship with Jesus and really have had to work on having an open mind and continuing to develop that relationship to help me in this process. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Elizabeth from Michigan. And it looks like that's all the time we have today. So we are going to go ahead and close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Elaine B., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.